Well, what a redeemer to sing of. And no place I'd rather be this morning than being able to sing of him together with you all. I'm very thankful to be here. And I ask for your prayers. I realize this morning that but by the Spirit of the Lord, I'll be wasting your time. And so I need the Lord to bless his word and the thoughts, the burden that he's given unto me. Think about the idea of freedom, liberty, one that is very well known to us in our country, thank the Lord. You know, it's not always been so, and for many people it's not so. I've been to Berlin and had occasion to see the remnants of what used to be a nearly impenetrable wall that was erected, I believe, in 1961, dividing East and West Germany, split the city in two. The reason they built the wall is there was an exodus of people that were leaving East Germany headed to West Germany. And in order to stop the bleeding, if you will, or stop the exodus, the government practically overnight built a wall to try to stop people from moving away from East Germany. But there was a reason why people wanted to move away. And it wasn't solved by a wall. The wall didn't take away the desire for a better life. I've talked to many brethren that used to live in Russia and that looked for the first opportunity, or what became Russia, the first opportunity to make their way back to Germany. And a wall, again, did not stem that desire for freedom. It just attempted to prohibit the movement of people to realize that freedom. But it didn't stop everyone. There were many people who attempted to cross that line. It was a no man's land between the two walls. There were a few hundred people, as I understand, that lost their lives at a minimum attempting to do that. What would make somebody hazard their lives to cross a wall? Knowing that there are guards that have the authority to pull the trigger if they see you doing what you're contemplating doing. You know, I believe there's a yearning within every person for freedom. To be able to live a life that is free. So I've read and heard stories of those who determined that they were going to cross that wall. And this is just a small little snapshot of the struggle of humanity down through the years in its quest for freedom. There were those who decided that they would take the chance and try to drive through a checkpoint. One man bought a convertible, took the windshield off, ducked low, and hit the gas as he approached the barricade to try to go under it. There was someone else who stole a tank, attempted to drive right through the wall. There are stories of those who erected makeshift zip lines attached to a tall building on one side and a zip line across to the other side to freedom. A man that took a hot air balloon trying to get across. Someone who fabricated a false gas tank in a car and fit himself into the gas tank and had someone that I suppose was authorized to cross to try to take him across. Again, the desire that would drive somebody to those lengths of desperation. It was captured in our Declaration of Independence of this nation. The idea that we are endowed not by a government but by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among those is that desire or that pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as they wrote. Well, I'd like to begin in the second chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. The 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, Christ, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I am thankful for the freedom that we have in our nation, but that's not my burden this morning. I want us to consider that there is, as there is, I believe, in every human heart, a desire for temporal freedom. There is in every soul a yearning to be free, a desire to be set free and to be set at liberty before its Creator. But there is an enemy of our soul who has ensnared and holds the vast majority of this world in bondage. And it says that through all their lifetime, we're subject to bondage through the fear of death. But thank the Lord, there came a Redeemer, a Deliverer, who came to deliver us from that bondage, to set us free, not just to improve our standard of living under bondage, but to deliver us, to take us out of that place where I am spiritually bound. Well, what does it mean to be spiritually bound? Book of John, the 8th chapter. Jesus was speaking unto a people who, maybe you could say, prided themselves in their lineage, their heritage. And Jesus kind of popped their bubble. John, the 8th chapter, the 32nd verse. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What wonderful words. And yet their response to it didn't capture the wonder of what he said. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free?" I don't understand this. I hear the words that you're saying, but I don't see any bonds on myself. I don't see any handcuffs. I don't see any chains. I am free. I'm not from the lineage of servants or servitude or slavery. I'm a free person. We live in a free nation. And yet there is so much bondage in our nation. There is a freedom that's greater than the freedom even that we have, being able to move and travel and start a business and all of that. Those are wonderful, but there's nothing more wonderful than for our soul to be set free. And that's what Jesus came to do. You don't understand, although you think you're free, you are bound. And the truth is what's going to make you free. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Again, what wonderful words. That he came to say, "I've come to set you free, that you might be free indeed." This is one of those laws to which there is no exception. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. When we yield ourselves unto the master of sin, unto the enemy, it doesn't matter if we intend to, want to, or want to go a different path, we subject ourselves unto spiritual bondage. Whoever commits sin, whoever lives a life in sin, is the servant of sin. Thank the Lord, Christ again came to set us free from the bondage of sin. He came to deliver us from sin and set us free. All right, I'd like to look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 1st verse. Paul told the Galatians, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Well, why would you want to do that? If you've been set free, why would you go back and submit yourself unto bondage again? But you know, freedom is not free. It must be preserved and defended and protected. And it's true of our spiritual freedom. That the enemy is, his purpose is to steal, to kill, to destroy, to enslave and ensnare. And the enemy has his sights on every one of us. Wanting to ensnare us again, those of us who have been set free from sin, to ensnare us again. So he said, stand fast in the freedom, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Does freedom mean lawlessness? You know, there is a rebellion in our world today against the rule of law. You ever hear people say, you can't tell me what to do? I live in a free country. Freedom does not mean lawlessness. I'd like to turn to James, the first chapter, and consider the universal law. James chapter 1, the 25th verse, says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You ever think about that law? Looking into the perfect law of liberty. There is a law that comes with liberty. There is a responsibility that comes with freedom. John Locke wrote in the 17th century, "A man after which are the founders of our own nation modeled much of the ideas of this nation." He wrote, "The end of the law, or the purpose of the law, is not to abolish or restrain, but to preserve and enlarge freedom. Where there is no law, there is no freedom." Where there is no law, there is no freedom. There is a perfect law of liberty, and it doesn't flow down from our government. It's not granted by our government. It is given by God Himself. It cannot be altered. It'll never be changed. Every one of us are subject unto it. Under its precepts, subject unto its penalties, there is a perfect law that God has given. But the consequences of this law is not bondage. It's not slavery. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I found a law in the Lord that has set me free and that preserves my freedom. And so I want to consider and recommend this law unto you. Freedom does not mean lawlessness. Freedom does not mean throwing away every restraint and living a life of unbridled passion like our nation is pursuing today. You can't tell me I can't be what I want to be. I can't identify how I want to identify. That I can't live the life that I want to live. And people are living their lives bound. Oh, there's such a better way. There is a law that is designed to preserve, to give us, to preserve and to enlarge our spiritual freedom. I'd like to look at the 7th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 7, beginning in the 15th verse. Paul said, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." You know, this is a passage that has been misused many, many times. They say this was the Apostle Paul himself saying, "This is my condition. I want to do right, but I can't do it. I don't want to live an evil life, but I find myself doing that. Oh, woe is me." Paul went on to say, "I find then a law that when I would do good, it gave me an understanding of what good is. But the law that I was under, it didn't bring me to the place that I needed to be. He said that it wasn't, in so many words, it wasn't the fault of the law. It wasn't that the law was corrupt and that it didn't serve its purpose, but it was inadequate. It wasn't enough. It left me in a place that I could do all the right things. Remember the young man that came running to Jesus. And he said, "Master, what must I do to have eternal life?" There was a yearning inside of him for something that the law had not given him. Jesus began reciting some of the things that he knew already. And he told him, "Master, I've done all of those things. What lack I yet? There's still a place in my life that is not satisfied, that is not met." So Jesus began to go down and start working in the heart issues for that man. People look at the idea of freedom today and say it means that there are no laws and no restrictions and no self-denials. That's not what freedom is. Paul is talking about here two different laws. Do you know we're subject to one law or another? Whenever we choose to go out into sin, we're subject under the laws of a different master. People say, "I'm free." And I look at the way they're dressing and I say, "You're dressing just like everybody." Who told you to look like that? Who told you to put that on? Who told you to bore a big hole through your ear? Who told you to do these kind of things? Well, I know that's not the law that Paul was speaking of necessarily, but it says, moving down into the 8th chapter of Romans, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." There's two different laws here. And I choose to submit myself unto the perfect law of liberty. I choose to submit myself unto a law of the Spirit of life, unto a law that brings life. Paul was speaking in another place, maybe it was to the Galatians as well, but he was talking about the analogy of the bond woman and the free. And he said, this law that you're under, speaking unto the Jews, it gendereth unto bondage, or the result of it, the children of it, the fruit of it in your life, leaves you still bound. So Paul is saying here in the 7th chapter, "I have an awareness of the holiness of God, but I don't know what to do about it. I can't rise above that. I find then a law that I was under. But thank God He set me free from that law of sin and death. And He submitted me unto another law that brings life and hope." I want us to realize that the law of God is perfect. The enemy will come along, and he did it to me especially as a young person. Said, "Oh, that's a hard way. Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to deny yourself over here? You know those people over there, they're pretty straight. They're pretty strict." I want to tell you that there is a law that the Lord wants to write, that is not written on tables of stone or in a creed book of the church of God. There is a law that is written in the law of God, that He came through this law of the Spirit to write it on fleshy tables of our heart. What's the significance of that? The heart is the place where the affections are, where our love is. The Lord comes not just to the mind to teach us what is right and wrong. He does more than bring us a knowledge of there's a better way. But He comes to change our hearts and set our hearts free. He came to change our desires, what our love goes out after. He came to change that and write in its place. where once were all the rules and dictates of the flesh that told me this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to submit to. I find another law that Paul submitted himself unto, and he said, I give myself. Yes. Well, the Greek meaning of it bears out, I bring myself a punch under the eye. I bring myself under. I rise above. I'm not conquered anymore by this old flesh. I'm not conquered anymore and subject to the whims and the passions and the knee-jerk reactions and all that the flesh worked in me. I'm free from that now through this law of life, this law that sets me free in Christ Jesus. And that's what this law does. The laws of God, they're perfect and they're right. You know, the Lord wants to bring every one of us to a place that He writes this law on our hearts. It's not going to be enough to have a knowledge in your mind. It is not going to be enough to know what the saints teach. That's valuable only to the extent that it aligns to what the Word of God teaches. It's valuable to know the Word of God. It's valuable to have an understanding of it. But there's something that must go beyond knowledge. It's not going to keep you. There is a place that we parents must fill in the order of God. I do my children a severe injustice to bring them up in an environment where they don't learn the restraints of their passions and desires and impulses. I do them an injustice. There's too much of that going on in our world today. Just follow what you want and follow your desires and follow your passions. And then somehow we become outraged when those passions go into an avenue that we didn't want it to go into. You get on the devil's territory and you're his subject then. So there is a place that parents must fill. Children and young people, if the Lord's given you godly parents, well, we're subject to our parents regardless. But if the Lord's given you godly parents, count that a great blessing. The law of God being taught in the home, there's going to be a time where that law has not yet made it into my heart. I don't know why we don't do what we don't do. And I get to an age that I start to wonder about it. And Lord, help us to have grace with our children. To know as they're trying to figure this out and sort it out, oh, I want them to be able to get this law written down in their hearts. Because I can build a wall like they did in Berlin and try to keep in and erect and again understand. There is a place that we keep boundaries and walls. But there's going to come a time that I go out on my own. And if I haven't learned some boundaries in my heart, it's going to be a free-for-all. Whenever the rule of law is gone from a nation, it leaves anarchy and chaos in its wake. Whenever people don't learn the restraints of God in their hearts and lives, it leaves anarchy in its place. There have been times and there have been people who have become subject not only unto the enemy, but subject unto other people. In religious systems where the pastor and the preacher and the elders and the apostles tell you what you're going to do and dictate to you every detail of your lives. And then whenever I've seen this over and over, they get into a place, or maybe they come to a place that they say, I've had enough. And then they get out of that environment and suddenly they haven't learned a law down inside. And it becomes a free-for-all. It becomes chaos in their lives. I don't know what balance is. I don't know where to draw the lines anymore. Oh, the Lord wants to write His law down in our hearts from a young age. Don't throw off the rules and the guidances of your parents. Let's not readily dismiss the things that have been taught by those that have had power with God. Lord, I don't want to just teach that you do this because this is what the saints do. And that's enough. That's not enough. But folks, I want to encourage you, if you're in a place that you say, I'm struggling with this, I don't understand this, it's not making sense to me, take it to the Lord. The Lord is able to write His law down in our hearts where what was confusing, it just suddenly becomes as clear as day. And I see it now, and I'm going to tell you, it has something to do, again, it's not an intellectual exercise. It's not who can get up and win a debate on doctrinal points. It is going to be the Lord getting a hold of my heart. And me saying, Lord, I want life, life, eternal life. And I want nothing in my life that tends to anything else but eternal life. I don't want anything that begins to bring me back into bondage again. I don't want anything that starts to put the chains on me again, that starts to restrict the joy that's in my spirit, that starts to bring me under a sense of condemnation and guilt again. Oh, we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not after the ways of the flesh. Lord, teach me the sound of Your voice. Oh, control the reins of my heart. Now, whenever I start to go down a certain path, I start to turn on a certain music, I start to put on certain clothing, I feel something in my heart that checks me and says, Lord, I may not understand altogether, but I hear a sweet voice calling me. And it says, don't go down there. Don't do that. There's a law that I want to write in your heart that'll keep you from the things that will lead you back into bondage again. It's about more than saying, but this thing is lawful. And you can't argue by Scripture with me that it's not. Oh Lord, teach me by writing on my heart what things are expedient for me. Lord, what things tend to life, what things foster and feed in my heart, in my spirit, in my mind, the desire for the things of God. What is it whenever maybe I participate in that, it just kind of leaves me feeling dull spiritually. It just kind of takes away the desire and the appetite, and we can get to a place that we come out in the worship services and, oh, and I need more of a pick-me-up than that. And it's what has led the world in many instances, I'll say worldly churches, to start to offer some kind of entertainment, some kind of program, some kind of excitement. Oh, I was with some folks at work and wanted to get together and read some scripture and prayer. And I joined them there, and one of them wanted to share a video of a worship and praise service. I'm going to tell you, just about left me in tears and sick to my stomach. There were strobe lights going. There were smoke machines going off. It was like a dance hall. People were up dancing and moving. And well, I won't go into all the description of it, but I thought there's something better than that. There's something better than that, that the law of the Spirit, that the Lord wants to get a hold of our hearts, wants to win our hearts. But there is so much in this world, if we are not careful, the world has so much entertainment and so much just busyness and fast pace that it wants to throw at us, that we can become numbed in our senses. So this law, let's look at Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5, now in the 6th verse. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. There is again a place for rules. There is a place of teaching and instilling in our children and in our young people. There is a place of us holding the standards of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be found in the do's and the don'ts and the rules and the regulations and the restrictions. It's not circumcision or uncircumcision that's going to yield it. But it's going to be faith that works by love. In your heart and in mine. When the Lord gets a hold of my heart, that's where this law is written. That's what binds us. Sing a song that said, talks about the bondage of love. You know what that song also says? This bondage sets me perfectly free. How does that work? How do you say bondage in one sentence and perfectly free in the next? But I'm going to tell you it's the way that it works. The law of God sets us perfectly free. It brings life in our hearts and in our lives, and it brings the joy of God. We're taught that all of the law in the 14th verse, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You want to bring it down into the essence of what the law is? If we had volumes could not contain all of the rules and the regulations and restrictions and amendments we'd have to make to try to keep it updated. But it says the law is captured in this one thing. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And in another place it says, the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When the Lord gets a hold of our hearts like that, folks, that becomes our law. That becomes what dictates what I do. So why do I do the things I do? Why do I not go join some of the folks from work and all of that and some of the things that they do? It's because I love the Lord. It's because I love Him so much, and He's written His law in my heart, and I just couldn't even enjoy myself. I found something better, and I don't want to grieve my Lord. Let's look at 2 Peter, the second chapter. 2 Peter 2. Just pick up the 19th verse here. While they promised them liberty, those who had come in of a whole different spirit and doctrine, great swelling words of vanity, and it says they promised them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Now, can you picture this? Someone that comes in offering freedom, and yet he himself is bound in cords. And he comes in saying, I want to set you free. And wait a minute. You're not free yourself. Oh, how sad to hear and to see so many of the pulpits of our nation filled with folks saying, you're going to be bound to sin. I'm bound to sin. You're bound to sin. There is a better way in Christ Jesus. There is freedom and deliverance. There is a life of victory that comes through the Lord. But the enemy comes along just like he did to Eve. And he tries to promise us freedom. He tried to promise the prodigal son freedom. Why be under the confines of Father's house any longer? Look at this whole wide, vast world that's out there. Until the time that he finally came to himself. The very thing I went to seek after, I lost it. And I didn't realize I had it all along back there. You know, we can be even in a setting like this and our heart be far from here. And I could be thinking maybe as a young person, I know when I turn 18, I know where I'm going. I'm not going to be around here any longer. Oh, will you listen to the voice of the Redeemer? Would you listen to the voice of the one who died for you? Who wants to offer you a law that will set you perfectly free in your life. This law, just one more illustration of how this works. Can you imagine how marriage would work with no law? With nothing to govern the conduct of the spouses. And say, I'm free. I'm free. I'm not under bondage. Marriage isn't bondage. You marry in the Lord, and I'm going to tell you, it is, it's a bondage of love. And it's not, well, she won't let me go do this and go do that and go have dinner with so-and-so. She won't let me. No. There's something that's gotten a hold of my heart that governs my conduct. That my conduct is governed not by a piece of metal on my finger, but by something wrapped around my heart that says, that's what I want to do. I love her, and I don't want to do something that would hurt her. I know what that would bring. I know what those, I see what the world, all the world wants to offer liberty and freedom, and why live that way? We heard a little bit, I believe, yesterday about the women's liberation movement. You're going to be liberated by all these old norms and these old traditions and all of that. You can be liberated from the home. You can be liberated from what they call modest apparel. Again, I would point back to the scripture and say, those who are offering you liberty, are they free? What is it produced in our world today? There is a better way that the Lord offers us. And the Lord wants to get a hold of our hearts through His love. Think of a few verses and Psalms, the 19th chapter, it talks about the law of the Lord is perfect. What is it, converting the soul? The law of the Lord is perfect. The scripture talks about in the first chapter of Psalms, His delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, that's not a word that we commonly associate. Word association, you wouldn't put those together. Do you know of anybody that loves April 15th? You know what that is? Tax day. You know of anybody that, just like they do whenever maybe they're, I don't know, they're issuing a new iPhone or something, there's a line around the block. The first day I'm able to submit my taxes, I'm right there. I can't wait. Hey, could I give you a little bit more? You say X percent, and I'd like to send in a bonus for your hard work this year. I dare say most of us don't associate that law with joy and delight. You know, the law of God is different. The law of God does not bring bondage. The law of God is what is to govern our conduct among with one another. The law of God, again, it does not bring lawlessness. It doesn't bring a free-for-all. It governs our conduct. It says don't use your liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love to serve one another. Whenever His law is restraining us, it's why our founders said that this law, that this constitution is only designed to govern a religious and immoral people. Because this little flimsy document is not enough to govern the unbridled passions of man when all other restraints have been thrown away. It only works whenever there's already a law governing the heart. The law of the Lord is perfect and we can delight in it. And I want to encourage you this morning to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. If the enemy's been whispering in your mind, that's hard. That's difficult. There's a better way out there. The Lord, He wants to win you by His love to His perfect law of liberty. You pray for me. Amen.